Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy this message and please study along with us.
Father, you just want us to just know how much that you love us, how much you care. And I've known, Father, over the years, you demonstrated your love to your people over and over and time again. You've shown yourself in so many ways, Father, where it's time that we didn't see and nor understand what you was doing, nor did we see the manifestation of you. But you were there, Father, because why? You said that you're there. And you said that you'll never leave nor forsake us. And by knowing that, God, we know that you love us and that you're there for us. Hallelujah, Father. We magnify your name today. We lift your name up on high. We glorify you. And we just thank you for your spirit that you enriched and indwelled in each and every one of us, Father, the comforter that you want to be close to us, Father, and you want to remain that way, and you want to stay close to us, and you want us to stay close to you, Father. You said in your word that if we would draw nigh to you, you would draw nigh to us, Lord. And we know that this is a time that we take out to worship you and to honor you and to magnify your name and to glorify you and recognizing, God, who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you, Father, for the enrichment of your spirit that dwells in us, God. That we don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats anymore, Father. That we can go directly to the throne of God and talk to you directly, Father. Because why? You called us friends. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We honor you today. We magnify your word. We magnify you. And Father, we pray that the thing that is said and done today, Father, has been well-pleasing to you, Father. We want to hear the words that you will say to each and every one of us. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you how, Father? In the beauty of holiness. Glory. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We can all be seated this morning. Thank you, Father. Whew. Thank you for who you are. Isn't he powerful? Isn't he righteous? Isn't he a God of love? A God of compassion? A God that said that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. A God that has always shown himself strong. Amen. A God that's always been there even when I didn't even feel him. A God that's always there because he says he's there. That's all that matters. A God that I know personally. My God, your God. A God that we have access to at any time. Amen. There's no time that we can't come to the throne of God. We can come to the throne of God anytime. We don't have to be in the church here to come to the throne of God. You can come to the throne of God at your bed. You can come to the throne of God at your death. You can come to the throne of God riding around in your car. There's always a time to be able to come to the throne of God. And he wants us to know that. He said that you are my children and I love you. You can come to me. You have access to me at any time. Anytime when you're afraid, you have access to me. When you're upset, you have access to me. When you're having joy, when you're happy, you have access to me. God said you have access to him at any time. Amen. Anytime we have access to the Father. Amen. I have access to my Father anytime. When I need an answer, I have access to my Father to get that answer anytime. When I need something from my Father, I have access to him at any time to receive from him. At any time, there's no time that he's not there for me. No time. How do I know that? Because he's proved himself over and over and time again. Amen? You know, I was looking at some things in the Word of God pertaining to the children of Israel. And I was doing a little study, going back and looking at their lives and what Moses was up against dealing with these. You know, Moses at one time, he called them rebels, you know, because of how they acted all the time. And it didn't matter what God was doing. He constantly would do and constantly would guide and constantly would be there and constantly would help them and constantly would show them direction and give to them and demonstrate his power and demonstrate his love and his authority to them. And still, and yet they would still rebel. A sad situation, ain't it? But you know what? In today's time, a lot of us still do that thing, that same thing. We rebel against God. And God don't want us to rebel. He wants us to stay on the right path of righteousness with him. He wants us to honor him, and he wants us to respect him at all times. Not only respect him when things are going good, but can I respect him when things are not going so good? Can I trust you, or can we trust him when things are not looking so good to us, or when it looks a little bleak, or it looks like all of the odds are stacked against me? Can I still trust him? You know, God wants us to trust him because he demonstrates his trustworthiness toward us over the years. All he wants you to do is go back and remind yourself. I guarantee you, everybody in here can remind themselves of some time where God had pulled them out of this situation or done this or shown them this and helped them through this and done this for them. I guarantee you, every one of us have a testimony. I guarantee you we do. I got plenty of them. A whole bunch of them. A lot of them I have a tendency of forgetting about them. Then the Lord will remind me. Remember, don't you kind of remember when you had this situation going on and I showed up for you? And then when he reminds you of something that he's shown you that you have forgotten, and then you have a tendency of dropping your head. Yeah, I remember, Lord. I remember when this was here and this situation was going on and you done this. I remember. I remember. God wants us to remember. He wants us to know how much he loves us. He wants us to know. He don't want us to be like the children of Israel and how they acted and all of the things that they done in violating his laws. He don't want us to be a stiff-necked people. And when he show us something, that we can't perform that thing that he show us. He don't want us to be a stiff-necked people and not following the pattern that Jesus laid out for us. See, Jesus laid the track. All we got to do is stay on the rail. That's it. All we got to do is continue with it. But we know that we got another spirit that won't roam the earth. that try to always come in and disrupt what God and Jesus had always done. We got this spirit that comes in and want to get you off track and get you to doing and saying and acting other ways other than the way God wants us to be. Amen? Amen. I was thinking about something. I held a study time at the office yesterday. I was kind of looking at some stuff that God was putting in my spirit. You know, dealing with repentance, repenting, not just knowing about it, but being able to do it. You know, and I looked also in the book of Romans 2:4, we're not going to go there, but when he talked about he leaded us to repentance, by how? The goodness of God is what leaded me to repentance. If I look back and look at all the good things that he's done, if I just sit there and ponder all of the good things that he's done in my life and just be aware of it and think about it from time to time. You don't have to take 24 hours out of the day, just a little time of your day and think about it. Just a little time, he said. And just think about the goodness of the Lord. Then all the negativeness and all the wrong that I do should lead me away from that. The goodness of God leaded me to repentance. He wants us to repent of wrongdoings. You know, and repentance is a sorrow of anything done or said, that a pain or grief which a person experienced in consequence of the injury or inconvenience produced by his own conduct. And what I understand from that to me, a lot of things that we do it to ourselves. You know, we do things that violates the laws of God, and then we have to repent of it. But when you see it in the Strong, they talk about a change of mind, a sincere regret or a remorse, a compunction, a feeling of guilt or moral scruple that prevents or follows the doing of something bad. When you repent, when you do something wrong, there should be some remorsefulness there. Us as Christians, if we know that we've done something wrong, or if we have offended somebody, or said something to somebody that wasn't love, there should be some remorsefulness there, a compunction there, a feeling of guilt. You should have that feeling of guilt. But we know that there's time that will come in that pride will kick in. And, you know, I used to like to talk about the pride of Leviathan. You know, we know about that crocodile pride. You know, Leviathan was that big crocodile back in the Old Testament. And we know they talk about his scales with his pride. And, you know, when you go to think about it, it's hard to penetrate them scales, you know. You go to fighting and dealing with that crocodile, dealing with them scales and things. But we don't want the pride of Leviathan, amen? We don't want that mess in our life. We want to get rid of that, get rid of it. So goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. And I was just thinking back in the, I was doing the, spending a little time looking back over Moses and the children of Israel life when God had commissioned him to lead them out of Egypt, out of bondage. And you know that was the time when they called on the Lord during that time because of the work that they had to perform. The taskmasters were putting all that heavy work on them. You know, we are masons by trade, and them boys making all kind of bricks to you. You know, they say, you may have made 100 brick today, but I want 1,000 tomorrow. So you got to turn up the heat there. He's making them work a little harder. So you know that they called on their God for to be delivered. And God remembered. Ain't that a good thing when God always remember? He always remembered. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor see begging bread. He always remembers. He always there for us. So those are things that I retain in my mind when I know I'm going through a struggle. That God always remember. He ain't forget. I may be going through, but he ain't forget. I may be going through it for a season, but I'm coming out. I'm coming out on the other side. It may be tough. You know, we went through a hard fight here just over the last few weeks. I wasn't here last Sunday because I had to work, and we had guys supposed to be working today, and we trying to turn a project over. It's a hard fight, but all the fights ain't hard. So if the fight is hard, I know I'm coming out. God gonna get me through it. I'm just this close, Walter. It was like this. Well, I'm this close now. It's a hard fight. And we got what? The October what? First? Be out. November 1st. Yeah, so October's already past October. November 1st. I'm messed up, ain't it? We got November 1. We supposed to be out of there. The fight looked hard, B. Well, boy, we whooping that baby now. I put it on it last Sunday and Saturday. We almost there. And I always know that God got our back. He gonna get you through it. And the fight wasn't, we didn't create that atmosphere. The atmosphere wasn't created by us. They dropped the ball. And they dropped the ball so bad, they willing to pay me to fix it. So, and we gonna fix it. We getting through the fight. I'll take it. I'll take it. Won't we take it? We getting through it. We almost there, just a little farther to go. But all I sit and I think about the children of Israel, how they wanted to be delivered. And they got what they asked for. And what I think what irritated me so bad about them when I look at different things is that God come through for them. And all the step of the way, it's like they never was happy to complain. They happy for a little bit, then they fall back again. They happy again, then they fall back again. And I think I preached a message years ago. We was at church on 15th State. I shared one time about, you know, we were talking about Moses parting the Red Sea. He ain't got a part no Red Sea for me, D. If I see a puddle of water and he parted, that's enough for me. You ain't got to part the Red Sea. But the part the Red Sea, and then I'm still struggling? Something wrong with that. You let somebody go out there and stand there, you stand on the bank of the Arkansas River looking north, and they say, I'm finna part this water. And they part that water and open it up, and we may see all kind of vehicles and everything else down under there. But when they part that water, shouldn't that be enough for you? That's enough for me. I don't need no more. Lord, you God, that's enough for me. Amen. I don't need to see no more. I've seen enough. But it's so sad and it's so ironic. We may not be on that level or scale of disbelief. Right. That's what it is. But we some of us is still in certain scales of disbelief. That's right. When it comes down to what God said he's going to do and what he will do. Amen. And he don't want us in that scale of disbelief. You know, he may not part the water for me, but he raised me up every day. He gave me good health. He put food on my table. He paid my bills. He's taking care of me. See, it may not be to the point where I don't need him to part the water for me. All I do is I meditate the testimonies of God. His testimony, I remember and I remind myself of it every time. That unbelief or any kind of negativeness try to come and enter in my mind, I always go back and meditate the testimonies. And I get up every morning at 4:30, and me and Laura, we'll be at the office at 5:25, 5:30. We'll be in the office. And we sat there, and she goes straight to work. I said, dang, honey, why are you getting going already? She said, well, I got Mia will be here. Mia will be there by 6:20. So she said, okay. Because sometimes Mia is a handful sometimes. Mia crank it up around there. She had you busy. And so she said, I need to get my work done before Mia get here. Get some of my work done. I said, okay. But we'd be in the office 5:30, 5:20, and we're talking. I said, we just look at each other, and I said, ain't the Lord awesome? I mean, you ever ask yourself, you ever just sit there and look and say to yourself, you talking to yourself and just looking around, Lord, you awesome. Look what you've done. Look what you're doing. Look what you're going to keep doing. You're going to continue to do. This is just the beginning. I'm seeing those things. And joy just rises to see the manifestation of what God said he's going to do. He manifested himself. And I remember when we moved in off a couple years ago, I don't know why I'm on this one right now, but I'm going to go ahead and share it. I told Laura, I said, you know, me, I'm a field person. I love the field. I love outside. I love working in the field. Office stuff ain't for me. I mean, I got hurt in 2019, I think it was. I thought I wanted to be in the office. All tore up shoulder and all that stuff. Sat in that office, little Dave, I was miserable. I mean, I'd go out on the job with a cast. I mean, I can't do it. It ain't for me. You know, you got to know you're gifted. I know my gifted. You know, I ain't dumping them. They can set up in there and they can, I mean, I don't know how, I'd be bored to death in there, you know. But that just ain't for me. And me and Kendrick, we always been in the field, you know, and this is just me. This is what I do. And I know that my talent is there. And so the Lord had revealed to me, I told Laura about it. I said, you know, I'm going to pull Kendrick out the field, put him in the office because he needs to be training on that side. He know enough of the field. Because I know what God is doing. God is starting to elevate us, and we even going into more heights and more different things than God is pushing the company forward. And so you know that if you get pushed forward and when God starts doing some things, you got to be in position. You got to be ready, amen? You can't, God tell you something, all right, I'm finna do this, do this, do that, and you just sit there twiddling your thumbs, and then when it all hits you, now what you gonna do, you know? So God had showed me that this is the direction to go. And that's why I always told my kids, I've always told them, I said, this thing ain't just started with you guys. This thing been going on for years. This is just a generational thing. And God has just taken us in different directions and we're going to different heights and different levels. And so that's why I pulled Kendrick come out the office. I mean, not the office, but he come out the field week and a half. He's in the office now, thank God. I know he enjoys that. You know, he's in the office. He's dealing with estimates and submittals and all that kind of stuff. And all that stuff they can have, B. Give me the dirt. I'll take the outdoors. They know it, boy. They know it. Daddy gifted out there, ain't he? I always tell him, I say, I'm going to retire. And what'd you say? Not yet. They know. But God has been good. I promise you, God has been good to us. Hey, let's go over in the Word of God for a little bit. I'm going to go over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. I'm going to look at a few things starting out in there. You know, I was thinking about, you know, how Moses had led the children of Israel all those years. You know, you're talking about God sent them the long way around out there in 40 years, wandering around out in the wilderness. You know, Bob said that their clothes didn't even wear out. Their shoes didn't even wear out. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. That 40 years. 40 years. I get on Laura sometimes. I say, honey, you buy too many tennis shoes. I say, I ain't never seen nobody wear your shoes out faster than you do. They don't even look bad. She said, but they feel different on my feet. Then I got tennis shoes I can wear for years. Shoes I can wear for years. And she said, but you don't wear yours as much as I wear mine. She said, every time I see you, you in work boots. And that's true. Then I have to say, you know what? I do buy a lot of work boots. Because I wear work boots all the time. All the time I'm in work boots. And so they clothes didn't even wear out, their shoes didn't even wear out. 40 years roaming around in the wilderness. That's powerful. That's a miracle. That's something to think about. God, you mean you sustained these people for 40 years out there roaming around and they didn't go hungry, even though they complained. They didn't go hungry. Gave them something to drink. He complained still, but they didn't die of thirst. But God was proving them. He was testing them. You know, we have to be tested sometime too. And he will test you. And see, did you really get what I taught you about faith? Did you really get what I taught you about love? Did you really get it? You know, I'm going to see how much you know, what you got. Because a lot of us think that we have arrived. A lot of us are so far from the arrival of what we think that we should be. Or that good enough, Candace? She'll talk about me. She'll call my girls. Ooh, you should have heard what your daddy said. That's my baby there, though. But you think about it. A lot of people have a tendency of thinking they have arrived. But they haven't. They're so far from it. You know, even me, myself, I have to look back at me. And God will show me. Boy, you got to tighten up. Hey, you need to get this together. Hey, you need to work on this thing. So I was just thinking about, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses did not children of Israel. All these commandments, verse 1, all these commandments which I commanded thee this day shall you observe and do, that you may what? One, live, also, and to multiply, and to go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. He had already told that it's been sworn to your family, to your father the head. This is yours, but you got something to do. He said, all these commandments which I commanded thee this day. This after he done gave him the command. He done gave him the rules, what to not and what to do, what not to do. He done told him everything. All this you got to do this day. You have to you observe it and do it. Look at it. Gaze at it. Ponder it in your mind what you need to do. Then he said for you to go and do it, that you may live, that you may live, that you may live. Not just to live life, but to being prosperous in life. Who I want to just go through life? I mean, a lot of people, that's what a lot of people are. Hey, let me just live, let me go through life. They don't want nothing. You see a lot of people laying out on the streets. I see them all the time. you go by certain exits and you see a tent way over in the woods. A lot of people, that's all they want. A lot of people don't have to be in that situation. That's what a lot of them want. Guess what? You can be in that tent if you want to be. Dev can't be in that tent, though, yeah. But you can be in that tent if you want to be. You know, stop and say that. But you know, it's so good. Yeah, I mean, she cracking up, but it's so good when you can have family and talk and love on them like that, isn't it? That's why the scripture said, know them that what? Labor among you. See, I know I can say that too, it ain't gonna bother. You know, I can call your name, call you out, it ain't gonna bother you because you know that I love you and I know that you love me. So, but you know, my point is being that you can be in that tent by choice if that's what you want to be. You know, you don't have to be living in no fine home, this stuff that you're living in. He said that, he commanded thee this day that you shall observe and do that, do it to do his commandment that you may live, and you can live a prosperous life. You can live from sickness. You don't have to be sick. You can live from not being discouraged. You don't have to be discouraged. Discouragement don't make you receive it. You don't have to receive that stuff. You can live very prosperous, and you can multiply, you can increase, and you can become great. This is what he was wanting for them, that you can increase and you can become great, but you have to follow the rules. That's all God for that. All I want you to do is follow the commandments. Follow it. But he's saying that also that you can multiply and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your father. So it was already promised to you. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. So God tries them. He want to know. I'm wondering what you're going to do when they run up against this situation. Or what you're going to do when you run up against that situation. So, you know, you have to put yourself in those situations sometime to see that what am I going to do when things are coming against me? Do I act like these people act? You know, do I act the way God said for me to act? Am I going to trust him totally when things are not looking so good? You know, a lot of people don't understand. You know, they sit there and they know they got that paycheck coming every week and got a little money in the bank and this and that. That can be their dependability. You have to really know, do I know that I'm not depending up on that? Am I really totally dependent up on God? See, I think that Big Daddy said a long time ago, he said, I'm thinking that when you said that, don't let the money have you, or it's something, I don't know how you quote that, a long time ago. Don't let the money have you. I don't remember that how he quoted it, but he said it a long time ago. I never forgot that either. He don't even remember it either right now. We just getting a little old. Tell him about how it went.
You can have money, but don't let the money have you.
Yeah, let them have that. People need to hear that. You can have money, but don't let the money have you. But see, a lot of people ain't figured that out yet.
Yeah, it came from... Check. Yeah, it just came from the fact that God has always blessed his people. You go all the way back, Abraham, all those guys, they were mega rich. You know, not just getting by, they were mega rich. And so God proves over and over again he wasn't a problem with having money. As long as the money don't have you. In other words, as long as it's not what's controlling me, and like Jesus taught about, you know, I'm chasing money instead of chasing God.
Exactly. And that's why he wrote in the in so many scriptures in so many different ways that it's not the love of money. For the love of money. Ain't nothing wrong with having money. But for the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people let the money control them. And that stuff can mess you up. But he's saying that you may live and increase, that thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee. He wanted to remember everything he done, all the way down through. He wants them to remember how he took care of them. He won't remember how he kept them. He don't want them to forget. He don't want us to forget. He don't want us to forget. He don't want you to forget those times where you wasn't feeling good and he brought you through. He don't want you to forget those times when he spared your life. See, the devil tried to kill me back in 2019. He tried. He didn't succeed, but he sure shot his best shot. It didn't feel good, but I made it through. And I'm back. You know, I can use them arms and everything. I couldn't even raise his arm. That arm now, boy. Got a little strength in there now. But the devil was trying to take me out. You know, I had a brother told me, the Lord wants you to sit down. He don't want you working so hard out there. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? We ain't gonna even go there. Go set me down. I love to work. This is what I want to do. This is what I do. This is my livelihood. What are they gonna set me down for? That don't make no sense. No, the devil was trying to put me in the ground, what he was trying to do. He was trying to stop a work. He was, but he just wasn't successful. Exactly. So, you know, we see that we are, God want to humble us. He want to bring this submission to him. He wants us to yield to him. But I understand that time where we saw where children of Israel wasn't wanting to yield. They wasn't wanting to hear. Because when they got hungry, they didn't care what was in their way. They want to talk crazy. Most of them worried about them stoning them one time. You know, that's how serious it was. Even though they saw all the things that God had miraculously done, not just for them, but what he done to their enemies, miraculously done. And yet and still, just for a little while, they keep forgetting. They keep forgetting. And that reminds me sometimes of some of us, how we forget so fast. We really do. We forget so fast about what God had just done. Just done. I won't be like that. I won't be like that. I want to always remember what God has done, what he's doing, and guess what else? What he's going to continue to do. Because he is faithful. And I believe him for his word. I believe him when he told me that he ain't going to forsake me. I believe him when he said that he ain't going to leave me standing, stranded. I believe it. I believe when he said he ain't going to leave me hungry. Somebody going to feed me. And somebody going to feed me. We're going to take care of each other. Amen? And that's what God wants us to demonstrate that now. Continue to demonstrate.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday School at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45. And on Wednesday nights, we have Bible study from 7 to 8 p.m. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. Rice Memorial is located at 15th and State in Little Rock, but for the time being, we're worshiping at City Church in College Station, Arkansas. Thanks again for tuning in.